Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As of, what is this, 9:36 p.m. Eastern time, Jimmy Butler is still a member of the Miami Heat. Still member. All right, Ethan Skolnick is here, Five Reasons Sports founder, host, Five on the Floor also, which you just got done doing. So there will be an episode of that tomorrow. How tired are you talking about Jimmy Butler at this point?
I'm extremely tired, but I don't want it to stop because January 17th, I need a babysitter because I got to figure out a way. It's my night with my daughter, but maybe I should just bring her. I'll ask her. She wants to work the locker room with me because this is going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. I mean, the Dolphin season started with me driving by Tyreek Hill being arrested on the way to the stadium, and now we're in the middle of a Heat season, and God knows what's going to happen at the arena that night. But, I would say I'm tired of it, but there's something new every day. So the story, it's not like we're still talking. For a while, we were talking about the same things, but now it's like leverage lobs from both sides. So I don't know which the one is going to be tomorrow. Today, this was more of a leverage lob that favored the Heat because it was Bradley Beal is not going to opt out but give away his no trade clause or his no trade rights for just anybody. And so that felt to me like a little bit of a setback to Jimmy. But tomorrow there'll be something that's a setback to the Heat. I don't know how many things they have in the holsters right now, like how deep they can go in terms of trying to regain leverage, but it's fun to watch.
You know what I've been thinking about, and thank you to everybody being here. We got some funny sarcastic comments, so that's great. We'll get to some of those in a little bit, but
losing my joy to podcast.
What I've been thinking about is because Dame had a list, quote unquote, which is really Dame wanted to get to Miami. And then we were talking about, hey, this is lingering long enough for a mystery team to pop up. Summer versus in season is a little bit different. But I wonder if there's a world where this becomes more than just Phoenix, because progressively we're talking about, hey, I want to get moved anywhere but Miami. Oh, by the way, it's actually only Phoenix. And now... I wonder if we're getting to the point, or if we're going to get to the point, because there's still roughly a month until the trade deadline. If we're going to get to the point where it's like, okay, matter of fact, you know what? I'm willing to go here. I'm willing to go there. And does it really matter? I guess my main question, though, before even all that, is Pat Riley at this point turning 80 in March? Could he stomach just not trading Jimmy where he wants, given how hard it is to trade for Jimmy if you're somebody else, if he doesn't want to be there?
So you're saying, can he stomach being uncomfortable with the situation a little longer?
And could he deal with the ramifications of potentially, like, could he get a team to be like, hey, take him on, even if he's not going to extend with you, and here's what we'll do?
Well, I but I don't think that that's necessarily their aim. Like, I think their aim all along, I mean, you got to understand where they were and now where this is, right? So from the very beginning of this process, they made a decision. We are not going to extend him unless he proves to us the value in extending him. Now, Jimmy fans can argue that. They can say he's already proved himself. Pay him for what he's done. That's basically what they're saying. They're saying pay him for what he's done. He lifted you out of the Hassan Whiteside era, and he deserves, you should have gotten him more help. I just went over this with Mateo because he's writing a story about this. And again, as you go point by point about how they could have gotten more help, I'm still trying to understand which move it was they should have made. I'm not saying everything was perfect. I'm saying in the aggregate, they didn't do enough, but they also did some things that he wanted. And they also were in positions where, because of some mistakes, they didn't have the assets that they needed to get into the game. Or in some cases, players did not end up leaving, like Mitchell, or in some cases they couldn't even get on the phone with the GM, like the Dame situation. So again, I understand in the aggregate, everybody's like, well, they didn't get him enough help. But again, I when you start to go through each specific situation, you kind of wonder what move it was exactly they were supposed to make that was going to please him. And now we're seeing that, at least according to him losing his joy over not being enough a part of the offense, I guess, that really he doesn't want anybody to take over more of the offense than him. And this is the point that Evan Cohen made with us, that all this time it's been, well, Jimmy needs help. Jimmy doesn't want to have to carry during the regular season. Jimmy doesn't care about scoring. He said these things himself. And now they finally have a guy who's risen to a certain level. It took a while, but a guy that they held on to in Tyler Hero, who is basically putting up Donovan Mitchell numbers this year. I mean, they're the same numbers. I'm not saying he's as good as Donovan, but the numbers are the same. Yeah. And now all of a sudden it's Jimmy's lost his joy because he's been sent to the corner, when it's actually Spo called plays for him and he walked to the corner. But whatever, okay? This is about money. It's been about money. That's all it's about. And it was about getting to Phoenix.
How much is it really about? How much could it really be about rolling the offense if you're willing to go play with Kevin Durant and Devin Booker?
It's not. But.
Right.
Could it be about rolling the offense when you're trying to get maxed out? Hmm. Could it be out rolling the offense when you're trying to get maxed out? And but what I mean by that is, does he feel that Spo was effing with his money? Because that's something that at all these podcasts I've done, I haven't focused on enough. But if you start to put two and two together, what is the goal here? The goal is not to win. He can talk about it. But the reality is, if you're going to Phoenix, like, Phoenix sucks right now. Okay, now you can argue if you replace Beal with him, but their bench is still going to suck. Okay, Durant's still not going to be consistently healthy. I don't know that that team is advancing very far this year. Anyway, they're all the way buried. They were my finals pick, so I'm not blameless in any of this, okay? But they look like bleep, right? So it's not really about winning, okay? It's not really about role, except for maybe it was affecting what is really the goal here,
sure,
which was money. And there is only one team where the whispers have been they will extend him. One, Phoenix, and trace it back now, okay? Because I know the Heat have, although they asked me who Ernie was, and I pointed out the Twitter account. Now, all of a sudden, they're detectives on this. Go back on the Twitter account, okay? the Suns were here on December 7th. Durant didn't play. Booker and Beal played terribly. Bam had a big game. Jimmy had a pretty decent game. Tyler had a decent game. The Heat won, okay? Brady witnessed the scene in the tunnel, which he talked about, joked about with me at the time that night. I think he put it on Off the Floor. Please subscribe. About James Jones, who JJ, I'm still friendly with JJ. JJ still has a place down here. JJ was there, walked by Jimmy, and they joked about who wore the number 22 better. Okay. Clearly there's rapport there.
Sure. Yeah.
Shortly after that, I'm not saying that they talked about it that night. I'm saying that clearly there's rapport. There's also a Jimmy Butler video where he never tweets, but he tweeted when they were in Phoenix, "I'll be back soon," with a video. Like, there was a video. Okay, there was drive by. Okay. Then you have a series of tweets from his buddy's account where there's a you know, the Photoshop of him with Durant and Booker. And then there's also this one tweet on Christmas about how Bradley Beal is basically the greatest two guard of all time. And there's also another tweet about how Matt Ishbia, or whatever his name is, the owner, is the most generous owner of all time because he's giving $2 hot dogs away in the arena. Okay. These are not normal things to tweet. Yes, he's sure. called me out about that already. Okay, but again, put the pieces together. I'm just saying, it's not just me. This is like, I got a text from somebody inside the Heat organization who said, we are absolutely convinced this all started on December 7th. Okay, when he came down here. Whether it did or it didn't, the reality is that's their perception. Doesn't mean it's the reality. It means it's the reality of their perception. So they believe that this thing was all hatched the whole time. And then Jimmy, it gets out through Shams that he'll go to any team, anywhere but Miami. Now it's one team. It shrunk from 29 to 1 pretty damn quickly.
Okay? In less than a week. Yeah.
Less than a week. And just coincidentally, this is also when the Memphis and Minnesota, Milwaukee stuff started to get out in the media over a 24-hour period that all of a sudden there were two reports, one from Haynes, one from Kevin O'Connor, that he didn't want to go to either of those two places. Okay. So there are lots of different things to argue here. I see a lot in the comments about it. You can only blame the Heat, took Tyler.
Which I'm about to,
I get all of that. I get the argument that Pat did not handle this well. Pat, I think, overspeaks these days. And I don't mean by speaks too much. I want him to speak more. It's entertaining. But I'm saying, like, when he speaks, it's not.
He's a little
not
too
as careful in the way that he words things as he was anymore. He's almost 80 years old. Okay. Some of that stuff was unnecessary. The thing about Jimmy and, you know, Boston, if I'd been playing, like, Pat didn't need to say that. Now, Pat did call Tyler fragile, and Tyler has responded to that in the most positive way possible by playing every game and playing mostly well.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy obviously had a different perspective on it. On the very night that Pat made those comments, I spoke to people in Jimmy's camp who were very upset about the comments. Okay. And also I spoke to other media members who said they better trade him now. If you want to blame the Heat for something, okay, if you want to blame the Heat for something, and people I know are going to blame them for not putting enough talent around him, they're going to blame him for Pat's comments, which I understand that to a degree. But to me, the biggest mistake they made was thinking that they could control this situation with an uncontrollable player.
Yeah.
That is the biggest mistake. Now, people are going to say, okay, they should have traded him. Now, I can tell you, they say, and again, we've done enough podcasts now that I get responses to all this stuff. So I'm just giving you what they say. It does not mean necessarily they listen to everything. I'm not saying that this is necessarily accurate. I'm saying this is what they say. They did not have any offers for him last summer. That the Philadelphia thing, and we had Vinny on the podcast, we had on Five on the Floor, that the there was no offer from Philadelphia at all at the time. Okay. And they had Paul George walking into cap space. So they didn't have to pay anything additional but the contract for him, whereas they would have with Jimmy. So the thing is, everybody's like, well, you should have traded him. And the Heat are like, well, we didn't have any offers for him. And I've made the case that if they had traded him at that point, the fan base, the casual fan base, not the ones who are following you or me or off the floor, would have gone nuts. Why are you trading Jimmy Butler now? Like, I mean, he got hurt. He got hurt in the play-in game. It would not have played well, all right? But I understand to a certain degree, okay, why fans are saying if you weren't going to pay him, then you should have looked to move him. Then they would have had to have been aggressive trying to move him, and I don't know what offer they would have gotten. There was nothing that came in from anybody else. There were people in his camp who apparently teams reached out to and said, if they don't want Jimmy, we'll take him. Well, that's not an offer, though.
Do we know who they
are? That's interest. I think Philly was one. But I think Philly was one. I don't know who the other ones were, but I think Philly was one. I have a hunch on one of the others. It's one of the three teams that Jimmy meant that was mentioned by Shams originally.
That probably
there was no offer made. There was no dialogue or discussion because the Heat believed, and I understand why they would believe this when they were dealing with the run of the mill star, okay, in terms of personality, that Jimmy Butler had a motivation to come back and play well and a lot. And the motivation was the potential for money at the end of the season. Something happened where he didn't want to wait for it because I know that the Heat were open to the conversation. Now they never made an offer to his people. They can't. The only thing they could offer was this one extension, which is basically ripping up the contract for next year giving him an additional $3 million and then giving him 58 the next year. So you're talking about 61 additional million dollars, right? That's what they could do, which would have kept him here through 2020 until 2026, which, by the way, is when everybody wants to get off clean anyway.
Right.
Okay. So they could have offered him that. I was 60-40 against it. I was not like strongly against it. I understood why the Heat wanted to wait, see if he plays more, see if he's more motivated in the games he plays. It wasn't just that he only played 60 games last year. There were about 15 games he took off. Okay. I mean, he just took off. Like, he'd be in the game, be like, did he play tonight? Especially against the good teams. He only shot 43% last season. Not this season. He's been better this season, actually. But last season, he shot 43% against top 10 defenses, and he averaged under 18 points. That is not a player you max, okay? It's just not. So I understand why they wanted to see him perform at a certain level. They thought he would be motivated to play at that level. They thought they were going to get contract year Jimmy. All right. And I think that he came into the season open to that, and then things flipped. And I don't think it was role. I just think it was frustrating. I think personally, and I know people are saying he was trying to protect his body. It looked like he sprained his ankle. He had three other injuries. I understand all that. But I think it was just that he just got tired of waiting, got tired of the whole thing, Pat not being communicative on it, frustrations. Remember, the initial Shams report about how he would not take an extension even if offered. Remember that one? That was on draft night. You know what else happened on draft night?
They extended
Bam. Bam was extended.
Yep. And before that, there was the noise about, hey, he wants the extension. And then it came out that there was not going to be an offer. Then it's like, oh, well, we didn't want it anyway. That's right. Where this started really getting funky. There's a couple of other things, and then we'll get to – I want to get to comments and then the main question of all this, but
keep the main thing the main thing.
There's a couple of sliding doors moments I feel like with this organization too, along the they didn't get Jimmy enough help discourse, if you will. The Victor Oladipo one, I feel like we don't talk about enough, because what if he doesn't absolutely blow up his leg 4 games into that season after they traded for him? Because we talk about like, oh, the Derek White potential acquisition and those level of role players, and I feel like, what if the Oladipo thing worked out a lot sooner and he just didn't get hurt every time or every season seemingly? Like, that's one thing. I don't know how impactful he actually would have been, but we saw flashes of him actually being a really good perimeter defender in their system. Now, there's a world where he makes too much money after that and they're not able to do what they did that offseason. But I think about that a little bit more probably than the average person, because in order to extend your window, you have to win around the margins. And that was a deal where it's like Kelly Olynyk, Avery Bradley, and like a bullshit first. And it was like you had Oladipo in there, but he got hurt after 4 games. And then Kyle Lowry was, people forget, because I'm going to make this point all the time. No, Kyle Lowry wasn't amazing. He was fine the first year, but he was the number one free agent off the board that year in terms of a guy who switched teams.
And then the number one that Jimmy Butler wanted.
And in the
beyond GM survey, wanted, almost demanded.
Yeah. And in the NBA GM survey, the answer for who is the player that's going to make the most impact on their new team or whatever, it was Kyle. Who's the team that had the best offseason?
And to some degree, it was the Heat. And to some degree, he did. And we have to give Kyle some credit here, because Kyle helped carry them in a season where Jimmy and Bam missed a lot of time and they got to the one seed. I'm not going to diminish Kyle's accomplishments there. But, okay, Kyle dropped off. His attitude was not good from the beginning. He was the way that
even
the front
in the
office
first
describes
year.
It. He did not want to be there almost from moment one when he started to figure out what he culture represented. Okay. So he was not, you know what it was similar to in a lot of ways? It was similar to Dwayne in Chicago. Okay. It was similar to Dwayne in Chicago. Like, Dwayne was used to the way that the Heat did things. And then he went to Chicago and he was like, Dwayne was done. I talked to Dwayne when he was up in Chicago. He was done within like week one, okay? Because it wasn't the Heat way. Well, Kyle was used to the way the Raptors did things. The Raptors catered to him in a certain way. The Heat don't do that necessarily. Now, Dwayne grew up in it. Dwayne grew up in it. So that's different, okay? So Dwayne understood it. And that's why during the Big Three era, Dwayne was the one who kept LeBron in check. Okay, if you remember the initial press conference at the Hex Center in Miami, LeBron sat there the whole time tapping his fingers. Okay. Dwayne sat between Bosch and LeBron. Dwayne had the mic. Dwayne controlled it. The reason things fell apart in the last year with the Heat, and I covered every game, home and road. Okay. The reason that it fell apart for the Heat in that last year, 13-14, was because Dwayne was not available enough. And LeBron, and again, I have a lot of respect for LeBron and the way he operates and works, okay? But without Dwayne Sarah as a buffer, like that year, and LeBron was frustrated. LeBron would find out from us that Dwayne wasn't playing and Tony Douglas was starting. That's the real reason things fell apart in that last year, okay? And, you know, and Odin.
Tony Douglas, I tried to get an autograph from him when I was a teenager, and I was like 16, and he said he'd be back, and I'm still waiting. You know what I mean?
Well, you can keep waiting. I don't think he's coming.
He was with the Knicks.
Right. So the point is, like, Dwayne kept that stuff, but Dwayne was used to the way that he'd operated. Like, the reason LeBron talked to the media twice a day is because that's what Dwayne did, okay? Mm-hmm. Kyle came down here and didn't like the way that the Heat operated almost from day one. Now, he played well enough the first year, but the way that the Heat describe it is that, again, it always comes down to it. You can have one guy who's kind of difficult, but you can't give him a buddy. And right. Jimmy, the stuff that started happening behind the scenes with Jimmy really started after Kyle came, okay? And you're going to hear more about it because a lot of this is going to get aired now. Because if it goes to arbitration, and there's a lot behind the scenes. I'm not saying this to disparage Jimmy, but I'm just saying I've heard rumors of so many things over the past 3 years again, but you tolerate it as an organization if the guy is playing and playing at a high level. They made concessions to Jimmy. They never made for LeBron, never made for Dwayne, never made for Zoe, never made for Timmy, never made for Goran, never made for Shaq. Okay, we're talking about, you know, Hall of Fame level or close to Hall of Fame level players. They never made those concessions. They made them for Jimmy. Jimmy, and I'm not even talking about the stuff that was difficult behind the scenes. Jimmy stayed at different hotels on the road. I've never heard of Heat players doing that. Okay.
And would post on Instagram with them playing like cards and shit. You know what I mean? Like
decide. And again, I don't care about
not a lot of teammates hanging around them either, which I always found interesting.
Right. Well, and that's
outside of certain occasions, but
that's the other thing. Well, Ron, sir, I would get into more of it again, but I like to get things totally validated, and a lot of this stuff's going to get played out. I just know
a lot of
it was teammate related lately too, from what I've heard. Okay, yeah. So there's a lot of stuff there. Staffers, there's people who in the Heat organization have been there for 30 years, and they were miserable at times, just dealing with and some in various parts of the organization. People mentioned Jimmy in the team events, okay? Everybody made a big deal this year about how he missed the Christmas party at Riley's, okay?
And everyone else went, right?
Right. But the reason I downplayed it at the time was I think he's only made it to two. Now, Kyle missed it last year, and it became this big deal because it was also when the swirl was going on with him. Jimmy didn't show up to Dwayne's stuff. That's just who he is. Meanwhile, it all always falls on Bam. Always. He's always there. And that's why they anointed, even though Jimmy was a better player, they anointed Bam the keeper of the culture. Udonis, you know, Bosh, all these mourning, like they anointed. I saw very positive interactions between Zoe and Jimmy, but like they anointed Bam as the guy to keep it. And the reason is because Jimmy just doesn't buy into some of that stuff. Fine, that's okay. If he's playing the way he was playing, you pay for that. Okay, you pay for that. You deal with it. And as Rohan said on our pod, it's a stars league. You play into that and all the rest of that. But when he's not playing, and that's what Pat was getting at. And it wasn't just Pat speaking for Pat. It was Pat speaking for not just for ownership, for coaches, for players, for teammates who wanted him to be there more consistently and more reliable. People, Daniel Firestorm's asking, was Jimmy okay with Bam being captain? I don't think Jimmy was ever considered. I asked Bam before they announced the captain at FAU in training camp last season. I said, you're going to be the captain? He says, I guess. I don't know who else would do it. Now, again, he's not even the best player on the team. I don't know who else would do it. Okay.
I mean, it's second best, to be fair. Like, I don't think captain is not always the best player on the team.
It's not always, but the fact that Jimmy was never even considered for it again.
And it should be, but I totally get it. The other thing is, what I will like, because the front office is obviously like, it's a big part of the discussion. Then I want to ask you the question here. 2023 offseason, I think where they fucked this up is, and I said this in the moment, when the Lillard thing fell apart. Mm-hmm. And whether it caught them by surprise or not, whatever, but there was no pivot and they kind of just went into training camp. And I think
they did try, but if you remember, there wasn't a lot there. Look, that situation.
I know they attempted Drew Holiday, but they attempted Drew. They weren't going to get Drew Holiday from Port. Like, even if they did the Terry Rozier deal before the season started, then and Terry Rozier at the time, I don't even know if he would have cost a first round pick because he wasn't playing the way he was last year in Charlotte. Right. And then that
I don't even think he was a consideration at the time. Right. And now that turned out to be a mistake.
The point is somebody. Right. And they didn't do like they kind of just went into camp like, all right, there's no Dame.
I think they were shell shocked, not by the Dame thing. Then again, the Dame thing dragged out.
But this front office should I would argue they shouldn't be shell shocked of all the front offices.
Right.
Like if they have the institution that they've had.
And usually they do pivot. Like even when Dwayne left, remember they signed six players within like 30 minutes. I mean, well, unfortunately, one of them was Tyler Johnson on a re-signing. But yes, typically they do pivot. But I think what happened there. First thing, it wasn't just that Dame wasn't traded to them, which I think they'd kind of given up on at that point because they hadn't even
been able
to have communication with Cronin. Like when people are talking about like me and this, I got into this in the pod tonight, so we don't have to do it tonight. But there is a big difference. There's a lot of big differences between the Dame situation and the Jimmy situation. But, okay, they couldn't even communicate with Cronin. He basically made a spiteful trade, all right? They had never dealt with anybody like Cronin ever. Okay, they just didn't. It was so unprofessional and weird to them that he wouldn't at least engage them just at the very least to increase his offer from somebody else. Okay, use the Heat as leverage. He didn't even do that, right? Okay, and he ended up taking a garbage deal. But after that, then it was they weren't that upset about Dame getting traded in Milwaukee. I talked to them after that, and they thought that the Bucks got worse. I want to repeat that. They thought the Bucks got worse, and they were. Right. They were
only
right.
Only because they got hurt at the end, though. They would have beaten
I understand, but that Dame and Giannis had different numbers together. But the reality is, okay, they thought the Bucks got worse defensively. Drew had more in the tank ultimately in what he provides, and they were uncomfortable with the contract that was basically that Dame had. Okay. But were they willing to engage it? Yes. Okay. They would have talked about it, they would have seen what had happened. If retrospect, I don't know if even Tyler, Duncan, and two firsts would have been a good trade. I don't. Okay. Now that we see what Tyler's becoming and the fact that you have to deal with Dame as he declines with that contract. But I understood why you go in on it because you're trying to give Jimmy a chance and Dame and the relationship with Bam and all the rest of that. And Dame has proven at times to be a great playoff performer. So I get it. Okay. But, okay. After that happened, the day they were upset was not Dame getting traded to Milwaukee. It was when Drew was traded to Boston. Mm-hmm. That's the day I talked to some people in there and they knew, okay, this is done now.
Was there a plan at the time to pivot from even that? Was Jimmy pushing for something specific?
That I know Jimmy wanted Drew.
Did he want
anybody I know Jimmy wanted Drew, but I don't know how the Drew thing would have fit in Miami because he's not a great offensive player at this stage. And so you're basically, but they would have been.
He would have fit.
He would. They would have
played him at every fourth quarter for maybe all 12 minutes. Like he would have fit.
Well, and they would have leaned into the defense there with him, obviously, but it didn't end up happening. I do know that they inquired. I was told that they actually offered, they were not offered because they never got that far because, again, it was Cronin. Sure. They were willing to offer more for Drew, I reported this at the time, than for Dame,
yeah. And Drew was ultimately the one who won the title.
They were willing to throw Caleb in on a deal there where I don't think that he was necessarily in the mix on the Dame thing. So, again, but we'll never know with the Dame thing because there was never any engagement, okay? So, again, getting back to this, we're like, okay, what could they have done to add to it? Okay, well, I mean, Boston outbid them. Cronin wasn't going to deal with them. And then, so then what are they going to pivot to at this stage? I'm not saying, look, there are creative things they could have done that they didn't. And that's why we talk about, you know, Boston getting Porzingis. I mean, you had to take a risk with Porzingis at that time. Okay, he'd been in.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Injury prone. There are other moves that I don't know about, the fans certainly don't know about, that they likely could have made if they wanted to jump in. They were not going to go into the second apron.
And they're still not.
Kind of,
also,
and they still won't.
Yeah.
The CBA kind of effed them in a bunch of different ways. That's kind of where it's at. So basically, you know, I say this. Did the Heat bear some responsibility for not putting the best pieces around Jimmy at a certain point? Yes. But yes. I'll get
especially,
back to this.
Especially after the last finals run, because that's when it felt like Jimmy's peak would be starting to decline.
But they also last year, they made the Rozier trade, which I know one person in the front office did not want to make. But they but it's not who you think, okay? There was one person, and now they've since told him that he was right, but that's
it. All I'm going to say about Terry Rozier is he was averaging 19-4-4 before his neck started hurting, and he didn't play in the playoffs.
Well, he started to shoot the ball better after about the first 3 weeks.
After they finally got him a place to live. Yeah.
Daniel Firestone asking which player to pat apologize to Jimmy for not crying. I'm not sure. I just know. I know that the players that Dame and Drew were two that I know were there. KD, KD is like that was something that they've pushed for many times, but they've like been second every time. Like they were second in 2016 to the Warriors. They thought they had a long shot, and then Spo gave this incredible presentation that KD still raves about, and he thought about it, but he wasn't going to not go there instead of Golden State. But here's the thing about it, Brian. I just want to make this one point because I got into this with Evan when it comes to the players that they acquire. Because again, this is just about money. Let's just make it clear. This is about money.
Primarily about
okay?
money, yes.
That's it, okay? If they'd given him his money, he wouldn't have cared who they acquired.
Right.
That's it. He would have thought, I'll drag them to the finals.
And if the Heat thought they were competitive enough, they probably should have given him the money to begin with.
And that's an argument that is reasonable to make. Like, if you're the halfway in thing does not work.
It was 2 years, but it was really 1 year. And
it was 1 year. You can absolutely make a case, okay, that they could have given him the money. I was close to 50-50 on it. I understood their point of view. I understood them wanting to sort of motivate him to play more. I get it. That's funny, Ben. I understand them kind of motivating him to do it. So I understand their perspective, but I also understand his perspective about just pay me. These other guys are getting paid all this. But this idea that he wanted stars around him, I don't buy. And the reason I don't buy it, he doesn't seem to want to give up any of his responsibility in the offense. But additionally, the guys he related to the most with the Heat, and I'm glad Evan Cole made this point because it didn't occur to me until he said it, are the guys who came out of the mud. Right. Like, everybody's saying he's upset about, you know, he's playing with G-leaguers. Who are the guys he liked the best on his team? Max? Gabe?
Jovic okay. now.
Jovic, yeah, Jovic, a first-round pick. But I'm saying, like,
but
who are the
like,
guys that Jimmy's had the biggest problem with historically? But who's the guys he's had the biggest problem with? Towns?
Wiggins?
Simmons?
Derrick all Rose number at one all, point, I believe, also.
Yeah, all number one overall picks, right?
Ben Simmons, you mentioned. Yeah, I mean, Tobias Harris, I think, might have even been a lottery pick.
He doesn't respect that. He respects guys who came out of the same kind of place that he did. And the Heat surrounded him with a lot of those guys, and he dragged those guys to the finals and got all the credit for it. Now, all of a sudden, they pivot the offense to a little more guard play, and particularly to Tyler and Terry, who, by the way, it seems Jimmy has the best relationship with Terry and Kevin.
Terry seems well-liked.
Terry is well-liked. It's just the basketball part right now.
Let me ask you this main question here. How does this absolutely – and I want to finish with some – we'll go rapid fire on some comments because there's a bunch. Mm-hmm. How does this absolutely have to end for both sides? Like – best and worst case scenarios.
There's no way it has to end. Well, the only way Jimmy wants it to end is to be in Phoenix. That's pretty clear and get paid.
But if it doesn't for him, Like if they can't actually, because people have to understand, and I keep saying this, it's very hard to make trades now because of the new collective bargaining agreement. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, Jimmy Butler makes approximately like $49 million this year with a player option next year. Then you have that hanging over your head. If you don't trade him, is he going to opt in and just continue to demand a trade? Or is he going to opt for free agency and just be pissed off because not that many people have any money? But it's going to be hard to execute a trade regardless, because he wants to go to Phoenix. Beal doesn't want to waive his no trade clause. And even if he does, you still have to find a third or fourth team for him, because Miami's not taking him to begin with. They had the chance to do that before. So
how over our dead bodies. Yes. They're not taking Bradley Beal.
So how does this have to go? Does Miami absolutely have to move him by February 6th, or this can get really noisy to the point where like it distracts the players? I know the organization feels like they can stomach it, but I'm sure Bam is probably over this shit. I don't want to speak for him, but watching him this year, he looks like there's just a lot of shit.
Well, he looks like he's affected by a lot of things. I think the offense has affected him more than it's affected Jimmy.
They can't get him any easy shots.
But I also think there's other things going on with him. Obviously, it's not he hasn't improved. Honestly, I hate to say it, but he hasn't improved offensively. Like, and the whole thing about leaning into the three. What was he, 0 of 16 over one stretch? Like, let's just abandon that and like teach him some post moves. I think they'll be better off. Or at least putting the ball on the floor and getting by somebody.
So you don't think they have to trade him during the season?
I don't think they have to do anything.
I kind of think for everybody's sanity,
I think, and I know Greg and Alex agree with you, but I mean, the reality, see where this is going to come to a head is I think it's about whether he ends up handles this in a way to get paid by the Heat this year or not get paid. Like, I think that's where it's at, because again, I'm having a hard time. Last weekend, okay, I had started to hear rumblings from his camp that they thought something was going to get done by Monday, okay?
And Bill Simmons kind of threw away comment on his pod.
I think Bill's guessing, because he's guessed two different things, two different weeks. But whatever.
He hears things sometimes, though. He does hear things.
And I respect Bill's work. I wish he was still writing, okay, honestly, instead of speculating. but this stuff started to come out, okay, that there might be a trade over the week. And then all of a sudden, the Heat aggressively made it known, and you saw my report on Off the Floor and Anthony's report in the Herald, that they're willing to bring him back. Now, why would they do that? Because they're trying to reestablish leverage. Well, we're comfortable being uncomfortable.
There's nothing out there. Yeah.
There's nothing out there. We're comfortable being uncomfortable. So then what happens after that? Okay, because they know that if they bring him back and he acts out, they can suspend him without pay again. They can't do it unless he acts out again. They're literally daring him to act like a child, essentially. That's what they're doing. Okay, I hate to say, that's what this is. This is passive aggressive game going on. So here's the thing. If you bring him back, you say, okay, I'm willing to bring him back. Okay, so what happens the next day? Again, getting out there that there are no reports. The Milwaukee and the Minutemen and the Memphis, we're not going to go there. So it's like reestablishing leverage on their side. And so that's kind of what we're looking at. It's just this leverage play. Now we have the Beal thing on the other side. That's more of a Heat play. So we're going to keep having these leverage plays until you get to the 17th.
Yeah.
Now, they could be lying to me. They could be lying to others. Windhorse had the same damn report today that I've been reporting. Nothing's different. I'm friends with Brian. I haven't talked to Brian. Okay, he's getting the same stuff. Okay, and Brian's very plugged in. And Brian said they've gotten shit offered to them. Okay, and that's what I have heard. And there's nobody even countering that right now. Okay, like I keep hearing, well, they have offers. His camp, yeah, they have offers. They're bad contracts. Like the Heat are not, like teams are trying to see like whether Pat and them will break. Well, they can't project weakness. They project weakness, then they're never going to get a good offer. So do they want to get a decent offer? If somebody's going to say to them, okay, we're going to get you a couple, you know, future first or a couple, a first and a second, we'll replenish your pick stuff. And here, take a roll. You know, you can take a run on Brandon Ingram right now. Okay. Or something like that. A player who actually, you know, can help, or a Levine, maybe if they want to take that contract, which I don't know. Okay. But if we're talking about a player of that quality, okay, which is not a superstar, but like a star level player that maybe you want to take a look at and will fit in your program and is of an age, Levine's a little older, but is of an age that kind of fits with the rest of your group, where he's like a young veteran of the team, then I think they'll seriously consider it. Okay, but right now they're not getting that. They're getting crap. And so it's kind of like, so how do I think it's going to play out? Unless they get more than crap, I think we're looking at
more than crap is what is Matt is Matt is not just matching salary, but it's like a young player and a pick swap.
I mean, maybe a young player whose contract doesn't go beyond 26 and some kind of a
that pick they don't have to extend swap. Right away.
They don't have to extend right away. Like, is Kuminga – and Golden State's not even in this right now. But, like, and maybe it would help if they were because there'd be more teams involved. But is Kuminga – is that – you want to extend him right away? I mean, remember, Kerr and Spo spent the summer together, okay? They spent the summer together. Mm-hmm. Spo knows what Kerr thinks of Kuminga. Kuminga can't stay in the starting lineup at Golden State. So you think Spo's going to be in a hurry? I keep hearing the Heat like him. I don't know. Okay. So
let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Is there a world where if they don't make a trade and he has to come back and it's after the trade deadline and he actually plays, is there a world where they actually
extend him?
Like figure this out and he stays this season?
I mean, I think that's the absolute least likely option. Now, again, they were open to it.
So this is beyond repair, you think?
At least that's what they said. I think it's beyond repair both ways. I don't think it's just them. I think it's more beyond repair for him than for them, but I think they've gotten to that point. Now, I could be wrong. Ultimately, things have patched in the past, but typically they patch after the player leaves. Like Dwayne left, came back. Zoe left, came back, right? Like that's – but I have a hard time seeing it. They were open to having a conversation after the season about – a longer contract, not the 2 years at 113 or the ripping up the 1 year, you know, the extra $61 million and it's going through 26, but a 3 year deal because you have the age 37 rule. So they were open to a 3 year deal that would take them through 27. So rip up the option 3 years. And I don't know the exact number, but I mean, something was thrown at me like 105, 110. So basically he'd get the money he wants, but it would be spread over three. I don't think he would have taken that anyway, but I think there could have at least been a conversation and a sit down between the parties where maybe it's 3 for $125, 3 for $130. He gets the going away present in the last year. It's an expiring contract. You don't really care if he plays in that last year. And you also have the TV money getting bigger so that if he's making $30 million, because you could do it descending like you did with the Brunson contract in New York. So you end up with a contract that goes down. And so they can kind of get, you know, they can clear out that money last year. And if Jimmy wants to play dominoes at home or go to the south of France in the last season at age 37, who gives a bleep, right? I think they were open to that. I really do. Like they made that point. They said, why can't we do that then? They just wanted to see him play.
Right.
And then do it. And Jimmy's like, why do I need to prove myself to you?
Right.
And so this is not, and okay, give me my damn money now.
That's why I get both sides though, Ethan. This is why
I do. I do get both sides. I get him, or I drag
you from the mud, pay me because I earned this. And we're like, hey, we don't want to pay you based on past performance. Mm. We're willing to do something else, but we don't want to give you a max because you're 35, you're breaking down and you're past your prime.
Well, let me ask you this. Okay. Heat fans were like, well, they haven't been able to surround Jimmy with any talent. It was going to get easier if they're paying him $58 million.
Correct. Which means
he's playing 50 games and he's averaging 15.5 points.
Which like, means it's going to be
easier.
It's about money. Yeah. All right.
But I'm saying even Heat fans, like I'm trying to process this because I love y'all. Okay. But I'm trying to process this. Well, maybe a couple I don't.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to process. Okay. So wait, they've had trouble surrounding Jimmy with talent when he was making less. But when he's producing less and making more, they're going to be better positioned to add talent to him. And don't say, well, just blow out the second apron and all that, because you know they're not going to do that. So I'm just,
and also you shouldn't want to do that. Like no, the way the second apron is structured now, you should not want to do it. There's a reason why the Celtics won their title and immediately after ownership was like, hey, kind of want to sell this. And they signed all those contracts and they know they're not going to be able to keep that team together for much longer.
No, but this is, you're really looking at 2 to 3 year windows here with the CBA. Like you can't keep these teams together. And so I understand, again, fans who say they should have just extended him for the money he wanted. And some fans are saying you shouldn't even have paid him the 3 years. Like literally just give him the 1 plus 1, whatever it is. Okay. Extend it out through 26. Give him the 113 over two, rip up the option. I understand why fans say that. I get that. I'm not totally against that. And with that being said, I have gone from someone who was kind of 50-50 on this, or maybe 55-45 for the Heat's perspective, to like 85-15 in the Heat's perspective. And it's not because I'm trying to curry favor with the front office. It's because Jimmy threw people under the bus he did not need to. And that's where I'm at with it. Like, I think even if you look at our polling on this, okay, and these are totally unscientific, but you're talking 3,000-4,000 people who are you know, serious Heat fans, okay? It was like 50-50 on this. It was like 50-50. And then the press conference where he's complaining about his role, which we know is not the issue, and now it's gone from any team to just Phoenix. And I understand why Heat fans have turned on him, because this is, you know, he's making it messy. He thinks it's the only way to get out, but he's going against something different than Minnesota. Like Miami, he's going against a stubborn SOB as an organization. And like, they're going to match him for that. And Rods are saying I'm a free agent pusher. I'm literally, again, some Heat fans, you can't reason with this and this stuff, because I'm sorry. He acted poorly. I posted the poll before the Heat win too, and it was 79-29 Ronster. So it's the same exact poll. Heat fans have not changed in this perspective. And I think at this point we're looking at the NBA, I think is going to back the Heat. We'll see. Players Association is going to do their thing. They have to. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure necessarily that result's going to go great for Jimmy if some of the stuff that we've heard gets out or there's more that I don't know about. And again, there's this other issue where, do you really want to go to arbitration right now and trash a player you're trying to trade? That's not ideal either. So the best case scenario would be to find a great trade right now. I don't think there's going to be a great trade before the 17th. And if there's not, then the next pressure point is, you know, hey, you're back with the team. They asked him, Brian, to come back and work out at the facility the other night, and he did. So I don't know.
He posted photos, and assistant coaches were there. Like, there were people there. So, I mean, it looks like they actually are open to him coming back. All right, I have a few comments saved here so we can get to them. Social Justice One Love says, trade Bam for Zion. Are they interested in Zion Williamson at all?
I mean, I could see interest in Zion. I don't think they're trading Zion, Bam for Zion. I think they could look at a trade that gets Jimmy somewhere else and Zion comes. Zion seems like a...
That's why I didn't ask about Bam specifically.
Like Bam's a Heat pet project. Right, but Brian, like, I understand the talent with Zion. I get it. He looks like he's in good shape now, but...
His contract also has some outs.
It has some outs, but the availability, like, they just made a big deal about availability. They're going to bring in the least available star in the NBA. I don't know. I'm open to it. I'm open to it. I think there's a case to be made for it, but I don't think it's going to end up happening.
No. Julio says, I love how NBA players sign a contract and believe they have no obligations or accountability for what you pay them. Do the Heat look at Jimmy this way? No, right? Or
Right now they do.
And so, but right now, right now, not the entire.
I mean, I posted the quote. I mean, people are going to say I'm running errands for the front. I'm just posting what they're saying. I mean, their perspective on it is, and I'm not saying this, they're saying this, that Jimmy wants to play 50 games, make $50 million, and just coast until the playoffs. That's the way they view it. They're around him every day. I'm not. So I don't know. I mean, but here's the thing, like trashing the player. This is what I can't get their arms around this.
Sure.
Like trashing the player does not benefit them from a trade perspective. So if they're saying this stuff, like it's none of this stuff is good to come out. They don't like this because it actually hurts their leverage with other teams. Maybe it helps it with Jimmy, or it would have. Okay. When you're making a case, but now you're trying to the same player that you're criticizing, right? About how he's acting behind the scenes or not wanting to play enough. Now you got to like polish up that player, right? No. We didn't mean any of that stuff. Give us this guy and that guy and that guy for him. So no, it's not like they don't want to do this, Brian. Like they don't, this does not benefit them. Like someone asked me, like they're in the front office, they're like, how does this benefit us? We didn't want this to get to this point.
Sure.
You know, Jimmy took it to this point. That's their frustration with it. Now, again, fans are going to say they took it to this point by not giving him his money or not trading him when he didn't get his money. And again, those are reasonable perspectives. But this perspective now that he's acting properly, that one I can't agree with.
We have one from Daniel Fire Sword. What's Spo thought of this?
I don't really know right now. I haven't been around them for a bit. I'm going to get back with them when they come home. I may go to LA for those two games if it looks like something's brewing. I'll just say this, okay? I know the people who are around the team and inside the team are most upset about the Spo part.
About how he threw Spo on
the not about the Pat part, not about the Mickey part. They're most upset about the Spo part because Spo has covered for him for 5.5 seasons, and he does it all the time, publicly, privately, and in other ways. And that's the part that bothers them the most. And to be honest, because I've known Spo since he was 26 and I was 23, so I kind of, you know, I know how he processes things and how he cares about his players. I think that's the part I think that is most troublesome here. So how does he feel about it? I don't know. I mean, if I were him, I'd feel somewhat betrayed. But
you don't definitively know if he's like hurt.
I don't know that. And he won't tell me until or any of us until way
after. Yeah.
I heard about what really went on with his conversations with LeBron and trying to be able to coach him. I heard about it after LeBron was gone. So I don't think it's going to be anytime soon.
Thrax Pack TV. They have the control to trade. I should probably read this while yelling because it's in all caps, but I'm not going to do that. They have control to trade him anywhere like Portland did Dame. Let's get some picks and a good big man that could shoot. I mean, that's easier said than done. I assume they're trying, but Ethan, you mentioned
Dame. The team has to want to do that though, Brian. I mean, is a team going to take a disgruntled Jimmy Butler? Like,
that's the problem.
I feel like the only way – because he's decreased the market here by saying he won't even go to Memphis. I mean, if you're not going to go to Memphis, okay, which honestly, I think you put Jimmy on that team as currently constructed, if you don't have to trade Bain, and they are, to me, the second best team in the West behind OKC. I think you add Jimmy to Memphis.
I think Dallas
just stays healthy. Okay, but I think they're right there. I think if they add him to Memphis – but if he doesn't want to go to Memphis, then this is not really about winning. It's about Memphis. It's about market and the team paying him.
Right. And he I'm sure he knows Ishbia would extend him and is not sure Memphis would. Otherwise, Memphis would be on the list.
Ishbia, I think, is the only person in the league who would extend him right now.
And you could do Memphis without Bane, which I don't think Memphis would want to give up Bane because like they probably don't feel like they have to at this point. But
if you're going to keep Bane, they're really expensive. And I don't think that ownership has the stomach to do it. So I think that's why.
Because Jaren Jackson Jr. is about to get an extension.
Right. So there's all these other factors. So I can say, yeah, okay, understand. I'm not in favor of trading Jimmy just for spite. I'm in favor of if you're going to trade Jimmy, you get the best package you can. But the problem is some of these teams that might show interest in him are not going to if it's pretty clear that he's not going to want to be there. Because you do not want to deal – I mean, look what the Heat are dealing with. If you don't have the organizational structure to handle this and now he's coming in there – I mean, this is the question. Like everybody's like, well, you can send him to Toronto, like San Antonio did. I mean, that there's the most similarities to that, right? Like Toronto was kind of on the verge. So you feel like a Memphis team, it's kind of like Toronto was then, right? Like maybe this is a final piece potentially. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And Kawhi went. Kawhi wanted to go to Southern California, remember? But Pop came out and said, I'm not trading the Lakers. Okay, I'm not trading the Lakers.
Right.
So he ended up going to Toronto. He sucked it up, won a championship, got his title, and bolted.
And left. Yes.
Okay. Now, so if you're a team, like, is it worth the trade-off? Okay, maybe for some, but like trading him to Portland, Portland's a bad example.
It's different, though. It's different with Jimmy because, and here's the biggest difference with Dame and Jimmy. The whole thing that you were saying as we were covering this, Dame has to make a stink, otherwise, he's not going to end up going to Miami. He did not do that. Jimmy is like the anti-Dame where he's going to do that and make sure. And teams will be like, yeah, we can trade for Dame and sort of deal with it like Milwaukee has. And he's done interviews.
He doesn't want to be there. It's pretty clear, right?
Right. But he's still there. He's still playing basketball. Whereas if you trade for a disgruntled Jimmy Butler, that's a totally different thing. Like, because we've seen like there's varying degrees. Like, yes, the Heat, quote unquote, hold the cards here. But like to a point, really, I'm not even sure. That's fully true. Crab photographer, we'll get a couple more, then we'll get out of here because we're already past time. Crab photographer, what if Jimmy had just sent a formal trade request without all the rest? Do the Heat ignore it? So if he just does a trade request behind the scenes quietly, which is probably not very Jimmy Butler like, does this go differently? And do they honor
maybe
him also?
Maybe. I don't think they're against accommodating him. I really don't. I think they are just thinking about themselves. That's it. And I think they have the right to. I think there is 20% of Heat fans, and I see a couple in the chat, who want the Heat to get a bad return.
To be right, basically.
To be right. Well, to punish them. To punish them. for not taking care of Jimmy. And then after the fact, you get a bad return. It's going to be like, well, why did you do that? Like, what kind of stupid front office? Like, I think we got to make a decision here. Like, do you want them to be smart or do you want them to be kind and bend over backwards? Like, I think they have to be open to everything. They got to be open to accommodating Jimmy. They got to be open to him staying with them till the end of the season and him walking. They have acted, and we can say this, and I probably do need to run here, but like, we can say this, like, they act like they're not concerned about him leaving for nothing. Because they have been under these financial constraints where Andy has had to pinch every little penny to keep them under the second apron. And if you clear $50 million from the book, you're not pinching as much. So maybe you're not going to replace Jimmy. Maybe there's not the talent in this free agent market and you can't replace him player for player or whatever, get a star of his caliber. But with a little bit more flexibility, with the ability to use an exception that you can't use right now, then maybe they think they can put a better team together around him. The Clippers did this with Paul George. They did it. They let him walk. And honestly, they're kind of the same team. They're not any worse than they were last year. Mm-hmm. And if Kawhi was healthy, they'd probably be better. They got production from Norm Powell. So why can't you do that? So again, social justice, Washington, one love, much respect. And I guess I need to go, but I don't know how many ways we look at this. Good night, E10. But I just think there are a number of different directions they can go. And I don't think that they have to panic to make a trade. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying don't make a trade if the trade is there. Punish him to punish. Don't do that. Get the best deal possible because you are launching a different build now. And this build, however it ends up being, whether it's around Bam and Tyler, whether they pivot a different direction, whether Jovic is a part of it, whatever, they're looking at this in terms of maximizing a young team going forward. It's a different build. They're at a different stage. But the reality is they tried the Jimmy build. Maybe they didn't try it hard enough. Maybe they didn't add enough to him. They got to two finals in 5.5 years, three conference finals, better than a lot of other organizations, and they didn't cash in. Okay, maybe they would have cashed in if Dragic and Bam don't get hurt in 2020. Maybe they cash in if I don't know, if Tyler would have made a big difference that year, but if Jimmy doesn't get hurt. And step on Josh Hart's ankle. I still don't think anybody was beating the Nuggets that year, but it is what it is. They've done pretty well with this build, not well enough. Donnie says, what are the odds they repair this relationship? I don't think it's being repaired anytime soon. I think there might be some toleration between the parties if they can finally get around a table and realize it's in their interests to get along. The best case scenario for Jimmy and the Heat, is Jimmy to come back, play well, which raises his value to other teams to some degree, because at least you know what you're getting, okay? And for a contender or an almost contender to say, you know what, that's the guy, we got to get him. And that helps Jimmy because he goes to a good team, and it helps the Heat because the Heat will have another suitor in there who may be more inclined to give them additional assets that help them move on. That's the best case scenario. This bullshit about the leverage back and forth daily basis is not helping either side.
Yeah.
Okay. They are better off aligned and then part. That's it. Do it for the kids. Okay. You get divorced. You do it for the kids. You put on a good face. Okay. You put on a good face. You move on. And with that, I got to go. All right. But I appreciate everybody being here. Thank you.
All right. That's it, guys.
20 minutes. What
the hell? Yeah. Right, 20 minutes. Got other stuff on the channel also, including something on video games, sports video games. You should watch that. We have more coming. Thank you to Ethan. He's got to run, and I got to run too. Thank you for watching. Like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. Talk to y'all very soon.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.